Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, We Are Possessive. He joins us weekly. Normally, I would say the films are, but the films are, in fact, the 10 best films of 2021. Hi, David.
Hi, Jill. How are you doing as this 2022 gets underway?
Oh, I just have had the greatest time because first we had 1-1-1-2-2, which was a great day, and right. Then we had 1-1-2-2-2. So I'm just loving the numerics of it all.
It's all downhill from here, Jill.
Thank you, Mr. Up. That's right. I remember. It's you, the film critic. Right. Okay.
I'm very, very glad that you're taking such pleasure in these small details of the new year. But hey, let's talk about some things which are not exactly small details, but which are in fact feature films. And the 10 best of the past year that is now over. And I will say at the outset, you know, some of these are like you have to look for them. They're not going to be playing at your neighborhood multiplex. And that's partly because I think that these are the better movies, but also because the great big gigantic huge tentpole studio Marvel comic, etc. releases of the year, everybody knows about those, and they have gigantic ads in the papers and the magazines and the internet and all of that. And so I like to call attention to some of the things that people aren't automatically hearing about anyway, plus the fact that these actually are better movies, I think than most of the big Hollywood type stuff that comes out. So let me start out with a movie that will take probably a little looking to get to, but it's a film by a guy named Bill Morrison, and it's called The Village Detective, A Song Cycle. Bill Morrison is one of the great artists today of what's called found footage, which is to say film that was made by other people for other purposes that he then gets his hands on and reworks to his own artistic purposes. His greatest film came out many a long year ago. It's called Decasia, came back in the early 2000s, and it's a movie that consists entirely of deteriorating film. It's kind of decaying before our very eyes. It's a superb film. The Village Detective is not quite that great, but it's a really interesting movie. There was an actor in the old Soviet Union named Mikhail Zharov. And he was a very popular sort of character actor in Soviet film, and he made a movie called The Village Detective. He was in a movie back in 1969, The Village Detective. And like many movies, it seemed to have just disappeared, been lost. Nobody had any copies of it anymore. And then a fishing boat near Iceland happened to pull up in its net four reels of a movie, and it turned out to be The Village Detective. And it turned out to be that these reels could be salvaged so that you can still see some sort of an image on the screen. And so the film has been sort of restored to visible state. And what Bill Morrison has done is combine that with a whole lot of other stuff, plus the story of the rediscovering of this movie, and made it into a movie that is a movie about a movie, about this old lost film fished up from the dregs of the ocean by a fishing boat. So The Village Detective, A Song Cycle, is a very lyrical, beautiful, unconventional little documentary, a movie about movies. That's number 10 on my list. Now we're going to be moving up toward number 1. Number 9 on my list is a more familiar film. People will have heard of this one, Spencer, directed by the fine Chilean filmmaker Pablo Larraín. And this is, of course, a movie about British royalty. And we had a lot of British royalty in the media in recent years. My favorite example, probably of all, is the TV series The Crown, which, you know, started a few years ago, which I think is absolutely excellent, and I hope it continues. But Spencer is a movie starring Kristen Stewart as the title character, and she is wonderfully supported by some superb British character actors, Timothy Spall, Sally Hawkins, and it's just a really good, interesting movie. And I have to mention the music in it. It has the most interesting music score, I think, of the entire year, probably. I really recommend Spencer. Really well worth seeking out, largely because of Kristen Stewart's performance, but not only because of that. Now, as we know, Jill, I like horror movies, and number 8 on my list is a horror movie, Nightmare Alley, made by the very fine, it's a Mexican-American production made by the very fine Mexican director Guillermo del Toro. This is a remake of a movie. There were a couple of remakes this year, but major remakes, the other one being West Side Story, which I think is not nearly as good as Nightmare Alley. But there was, way back in 1947, there was a film noir horror movie of Nightmare Alley, which is based on a novel by a guy named William Lindsay Gresham. It's a good novel. The movie from 1947 is really good, too. But Del Toro's new remake is really, really excellent. It's a very, very grim psychological thriller about a guy who goes to work for a carnival and works his way up to being sort of a major swindler and grifter and gets involved with a woman who is a psychoanalyst, and she uses the secrets that she knows about her clients, and they just end up having this horrible plot together. It's a pretty grim horror movie, and it's filmed with tremendous visual flair. There's always something to look at. The camera movements are astounding. The colors pop your eyes out, and it has a wonderful cast. Bradley Cooper is excellent in the leading role. We also have Cate Blanchett, Richard Jenkins, Toni Collette, Willem Dafoe. Really a really good movie. If you like horror movies, if you like sort of modern neo-noir movies, Nightmare Alley is not to be missed. It's a superbly made film. Number 7 on my list is The Killing of Two Lovers, directed by Robert Mashoyan. This is a story of a dissolving marriage and a shattering household. It's about a couple who are at each other's throats, and they have young kids, and it's a very, very harrowing movie. It is also superbly acted and superbly directed, without a single wasted move, I think. A very, very dark drama, even a dark melodrama, but it's really visceral cinema, and it made a really big impact on me. I've seen it more than once. I think it's really, 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 really good. Number 6 on the list, we're getting up toward the halfway mark, Jill, is a movie from Romania called Uppercase Print, directed by the very, very great Romanian filmmaker Radu Yude. And here we have a movie which is about, well, it is in two parts, really, or rather the two parts alternate as the movie goes along. It is, on one hand, we have scenes from a play which was written and staged, and these scenes are filmed as if it was a play being acted on a stage, very static, very, very direct to the audience kind of stuff, about a true story of a Romanian teenager who was investigated by the old Ceausescu regime back in the early 1980s for spreading graffiti about civil rights and democracy. So scenes from this play about this teenager being persecuted by the government simply for trying to get the word out about civil rights and what people's democratic rights ought to be is being persecuted by the government. And then that's alternated throughout the movie with material from newsreels, commercials on TV, educational films that bring across in a very visceral way, for me at least, how indoctrination and propaganda and disinformation get spread on the media, in this case in Romania in the early 80s, by government authorities and by official corporate authorities. But it's very, very relevant to our own situation these days in the United States as well. Uppercase Print is a very, very profoundly political film, and even though it's mostly about Romania in the early 80s, I think it has a lot to teach us about today's political and social problems as well. Number 5 on the list is the wonderful movie Passing, directed by Rebecca Hall, starring Ruth Negga and Tessa Thompson, who play two women who run into each other. This is way back in New York City, back in the 1920s, and they are two old friends, and they are both black women. One of them has built a happy and productive life, even though she is an African American and a woman in a racist and sexist society. She's built a happy life. Her husband is a physician. She's doing very, very well. The other woman has been passing for white, and she's been doing so with such skill that even her outrageously bigoted husband has no idea that she is in fact a black woman. It's a wonderful, subtle, beautifully acted, beautifully filmed movie, very, very delicate tones throughout. Near the end, the climax is, I think, a little bit melodramatic, a little bit over the top, and for me that's the only somewhat false note in this otherwise incredibly delicate, nuanced movie. It's a beautiful movie. It takes place in New York in the early 1920s, but it has a whole lot to say about race relations today, about bigotry, about prejudice, about all the problems we have. And I just think it's a wonderful, beautifully acted and gorgeously, well, not gorgeously, but subtly and sensitively filmed movie. Number four on my list is from Spain, Parallel Mothers, Madres Paralelas, directed by easily the greatest of today's Spanish filmmakers, Pedro Almodóvar, and in fact, he's probably one of the two or three greatest Spanish filmmakers in the history of movies. And here we have a melodrama which interweaves two storylines. One is about two women who meet while they're giving birth at a hospital in Madrid, and then all kinds of things happen there. They meet, they become very close friends. Later on, a mix-up happens involving a great tragedy involving one of their babies who were born at just about the same time, and that's a storyline that sustains itself throughout the entire movie. The other storyline is about a political effort to dig up a mass grave which has been found, which contains the bodies of people who were killed by the old Franco regime back in the early days of the Spanish Civil War. So we have these two storylines that intertwine and eventually are seen to be very closely connected in sort of allusive ways. So again, we have this very political story about this mass grave which has been rediscovered and which people want to exhume, and we have the story of the two mothers. It's a beautiful movie, wonderfully acted, especially by Penelope Cruz, but by everybody in the cast, and I think it's Pedro Almodóvar's best movie in quite a long while. Movie number three on my list, we're getting near the top, Jill, Compartment Number Six, which is by a very fine Finnish filmmaker named Juho Kosmanen. He made a terrific directorial debut about 6 years ago called The Happiest Day in the Life of Olli Mäki. It was a prize-fighting drama. And now he's made a very different kind of film. And even though this is officially a release of 2021, it's going to have most of its exposure now in 2022. So this is a movie that I hope people will seek out and make a point of seeing. Compartment Number Six is about a young Finnish woman who has just finished her studies at a university in Moscow, and she embarks on a long train journey heading all the way toward above the Arctic Circle, where she wants to examine some ancient petroglyphs, some ancient rock carvings. She's not really that interested in the petroglyphs or in geology. She was really infatuated with the professor who was into that kind of stuff. And the professor was supposed to go along with her on the trip, but the professor has now dropped out, so our young main character ends up traveling alone, except in her train compartment is a very boorish, drunken young man who really bodes ill for the rest of the journey. Well, the two of them get to know each other. He turns out to be much less boorish than he appeared. A relationship develops between them, the two of them, and it's a fascinating movie. It's in partly a sort of a travel movie about this trip to up above the Arctic Circle. You get to see some remarkable landscapes in this movie, but it's also very much about the unlikely relationship between these two young people. Excellent movie, beautifully acted, beautifully done, Compartment Number Six. I highly recommend it. Number two on my list is another film which is really going to have most of its exposure now, coming up very soon in 2022, although it's officially a 2021 release, a French movie called Petite Maman, Little Mama, directed by the wonderful Céline Sciamma. This is a movie about ghosts, it's about grief, it's about little kids. It's a fantasy, but it deals with very, very real human emotions, and that's really all I want to say about it. It's one of the most delicately directed, beautifully acted, subtly done movies, fantasy or any other genre, that I've seen in a long time. Gorgeously shot, beautifully, beautifully done. Céline Sciamma is a fabulous filmmaker, and Petite Maman is a really wonderful movie. I just recommend it to everybody. It's just extraordinarily good. And number one, the best movie in my personal opinion of 2021, and by the way, there are plenty of critics who agree with me on this, is a movie by the very great Thai filmmaker Apichatpong Weerasethakul called Memoria. And like all of Weerasethakul's movies, it's very mysterious. It's very enigmatic. It doesn't explain all of its mysteries or enigmas. It just sets up moods and atmospheres that you have to sort of allow yourself to sink into as it goes along. The star is the wonderful Tilda Swinton, an actor who can do anything. And in the very, very first movie, we see her asleep in her bedroom, and she is awakened by a sudden, loud, thunderous boom. And the whole rest of the movie is her effort to find out what that noise was, which she keeps hearing again and again at mysterious, sort of unpredictable intervals. She travels around, she meets different people, she tries to investigate this partly through scientific means, partly through sort of mysterious, mystical means. So it's a movie about mystery, and it is a mysterious film, but it is gorgeously filmed, absolutely engrossing and gripping if you can get into its very delicate and sort of unexplained but completely compelling mood. So again, my choice for the best movie of the year, the past year, is Memoria by Apichatpong Wirasethakul. They're making this movie hard to see. It's traveling around playing for 1 week at a time in one city at a time. But if it comes to a city near you, folks, I really recommend seeking it out. Memoria is an extraordinary film by one of the greatest filmmakers working in the whole world today. And that, in my opinion, Jill, is the list of the 10 best movies of 2021.
For which we thank you and your erudition very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films, the 10 best films of 2021.